And we say good morning now to Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, Dr. Nielsen, we've heard some reports recently here on our station, as a matter of fact, and elsewhere, of course, about the way this pandemic is impacting African Americans. And we've heard from advocates, we've heard from politicians, but you, of course, come from a policy perspective as well here. So from where you stand, you know, what do you extrapolate from what you're seeing in terms of some of the numbers and how it is impacting African Americans here in Western New York?
Well, there's no question that it's adversely affecting African Americans here, just as it is across the nation. Full disclosure, I've been for probably 4 years a member of the African American Health Disparities Task Force. So I've had the privilege of learning more than I ever knew about how African Americans in our area live sicker and die younger, and it's a fact. This virus does not discriminate in who it infects, but it certainly adversely affects the African American community. So what you're hearing from the leaders of that task force, particularly several of the very influential black pastors, is that we really simply have to do something. We can't just observe this kind of thing anymore. We can't just say, oh, it's the social determinants, it's poverty, it's education, it's obesity, it's hypertension, it's smoking. We can't do that anymore. We have to address these issues. And so the task force, two things have come out of that. And this was announced some months ago prior to the coronavirus pandemic. But UB has established a research institute dedicated just to these issues of health disparities. And the task force has also established a center led by leaders from within the African American community. And clearly the politicians are hearing that, and they're fully behind trying to figure out what we can do that will make a difference. We don't have answers yet, but we certainly need to address some of the issues, like access to health care, like insurance, like poverty. It just simply can't be ignored as an observation anymore.
One concept that I did hear from one of the local leaders, putting a testing site in one of the neighborhoods or in the neighborhoods where African Americans are most populated and where the coronavirus has been particularly impactful. Would that be a short-term solution of some sort?
Well, it would be if we had enough tests. But that's the problem. That is exactly the problem. There is a shortage of tests throughout the country, and clearly here, as has been in the media for weeks. So absolutely, it's a great idea to test people where they live, because most people are staying home now. But we just don't have the tests.
I want to get into a listener question here. It revolves around, simply put, and not always that pleasant this early in the morning, spitting.
Well, first of all, spitting is, frankly put, disgusting and shouldn't be done. I mean, everybody has been in a situation where, you know, they either have postnasal drip or something's gotten in the back of your throat. But please do not spit that out in public, particularly now. It really is disgusting any time. But right now, it's really important that we not do that, because coronavirus has been found in saliva. And not only that, there's an actual test that's looking at saliva, and 11 out of 12 people who have the virus are transmitting it in saliva. So you spit on the ground, somebody comes and walks on it, the virus lives on shoes for a period of time. Just don't do it. But to the larger point about hygienic practices, there's another issue that I think we have to be careful about, and that is you see people wearing gloves and throwing gloves or used masks on the ground. That's not fair. You're really subjecting somebody else to danger when you do that. I mean, be reasonable, be polite, take care of your own mess, put it in the garbage yourself.
Another listener asked about these updates from the governor, and it was their impression, and I'll let you set the fact on this, that a lot of his information revolves around what's happening downstate, where, of course, the pandemic has been hitting hardest, for sure. That being stated, are you able to extrapolate information about how you think the pandemic, how the virus might continue to spread here in West New York based on what you're getting from the governor?
Well, not directly, no. I mean, it's obvious why he's concentrating on downstate, because the numbers are astonishing, just astonishing. I mean, there are over 10,000 people who've died just in New York City. We have 101 who have died in Erie County. So I understand the numbers and all the statistics are going to be overwhelmed by where the population is and where the virus has been rampant. But we certainly can see similarities. We can see similarities in the flattening of hospitalizations and people on ventilators. And all of that is very important. And that's tracking along with New York City. Now, whether that will hold, we don't know. It clearly seems to be holding for right now. But that's because we're doing the social distancing and people are being very responsible. So I wish he would say more about upstate, but I understand why he doesn't when he gives these news conferences. He is aware of the fact that we have what he called in one of his press conferences a cluster in Buffalo. I would say 101 deaths is more than a cluster. And why we're worried about nursing homes and actually all of our neighbors, and that's why we need to behave responsibly.
And then finally, we've heard a somewhat hopeful development about plasma, of those people who have had the coronavirus and have recovered, and that their plasma might have some benefits to other patients. What can you tell us about that?
This is an old concept and one that has been used for 100 years in desperate situations. If you don't have any effective treatment, which at the moment we're not sure that we do, and I would like to come back to that in a minute, but if we don't have effective treatment that we know works, when somebody is desperately sick, what you can do is take the antibodies, the plasma, from someone who has had that same disease and recovered, and transfuse that into the sick person. Now, that's been done for 100 years in desperate situations. It was done during the Ebola crisis, and it is being done now. And we're very fortunate that Roswell Park is willing to collect plasma of people who have recovered. It's important that people understand who might be appropriate donors. First of all, to be considered as a donor, you have to have had a positive coronavirus test. Then you have to have been recovered for at least 14 days. And then if you are in that category, you ought to contact Roswell, because you could save a life by donating your plasma. It's easy. It's just like donating blood. It's no big deal. Contact Roswell, their donor center, and they will walk you through it.
And you did touch upon this about just general therapies that might be available for the coronavirus. What can you tell us?
Well, in our area, we're pretty fortunate. We have several. I want to start with the one that's available a lot of places and is being used here, and is the one that President Trump has repeatedly advocated, and that is the hydroxychloroquine. That is being used in local hospitals. I will tell you that the early data that we're seeing from other countries and some preliminary data from this country are not promising. So it is available, but there's a study from both France and from Brazil where there was either no help, or in the case of Brazil, there were cardiac complications. So it's available, it's being used, and we're awaiting the large-scale testing that's being done in New York City. But there are several other very interesting possibilities. We talked about the plasma. One donor can save one life, potentially. For larger use, we are already doing a study at Buffalo General and Roswell. And the last time I checked, there were about 12 patients who had been enrolled. with one of the anti-inflammatory drugs that has been used for rheumatoid arthritis. And then finally, the one that probably has the most promise from studies that we know about is remdesivir, and that is an antiviral that was used in Ebola, but seems to be perhaps more effective even in coronavirus than it was in Ebola. So there are at least four potential therapies if someone in Western New York is ill enough to be hospitalized and is not doing well.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, as always, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure.